All right, today we're talking about gaining victory over sin and temptation. And how many of you want victory to start with? Do you want to win the battle over sin? Do you?
Yes.
Do you get tired of it beating you down and doing the same old thing you know you shouldn't do? And whether it be envy or anger or bitterness or whatever it might be? Well, these 4 weeks we're talking about a plan for victory. And last week we talked about how in the middle of the palace, is talking about your heart and the Holy Spirit dwelling there and giving you that desire for victory and putting it in your heart to have that victory. And that's the first step. If you didn't get to catch it last week, you can go on the app as she was talking about or go online and listen to it. It really kind of sets up the next 3 weeks. And then this week, we're talking about the people of Christ, how we need to lock arms together and be a team. How it takes all of us to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, how we need each other to move forward. And then we're going to look the following week, as we look at this proximity, we're going to look at separating ourselves from temptation and beginning to put a wall, a distance up, so that we're not even tempted to go there. And then the last one is prayer. And we're going to look at how the goal is to actually do the battle in prayer, so you don't have to get close to the battle. You let the Lord fight the battle for you. Lord Jesus said, hey, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I believe that. I believe we can have victory and not live in defeat. And so that's why we're doing this. I think I'm going to take a picture of my initial drawing and show it to you next week, because every time I look at this picture, I'm like, that is amazing how she did that in an hour. And I've got these little squares with a couple of stick people and, you know, a couple of little swords that I drew. And I thought I was doing good. And then she did this. I was like, okay, we'll go with hers. So as we're looking at winning the victory, yesterday I coached two of my kids' soccer teams. And, you know, I always want to encourage them, hey, give it 110%. It's really nice to win. And but, you know, at the end of the day, give it 110%. Do your best. And I always usually give them a little pep rally speech. And I was at a conference this week and they're giving the example of a pep rally speech that this guy, Colton Fitzsimmons, gave. And I thought it stunk myself. But anyway, they gave this example of his pep speech. Now, his team was in last place in the NBA, and they're going against the first place Celtics. And this is the reported pep speech he gave them. He said, guys, tonight, don't remember that you're in last place. Pretend that you're in first place and play like winners. And guys, tonight, don't remember that you're playing the Celtics, who are better than you. But pretend like you're playing the last place team and that you are the best team. And tonight, guys, when you go out there, don't remember that they beat you last game. Pretend instead it was close and that this game you'll come out on top. Well, as you can imagine, with a speech like that, they were pummeled. And after the game, one of the players came to the coach and he said, coach, I just want to encourage you. Tonight when you lay down in bed, just pretend that we won the game. Well, I'll tell you, pretending that you win will get you nowhere, right? You've got to actually put in the time, the effort, and in the example we're looking at today, you've got to have a good team. You want to go out there with the A team, the best team. And I believe that's what Jesus designed the church to be. The best team. Sadly, I just this week talked with someone that was sharing with me that they just gone through a bad situation at church and they've been hurt deeply by the church and that they almost walked away from their faith altogether because of the infighting and the bickering. And I was just like, man, I am so sorry. That is not the intention of God. Now, will there be some times in church life that you may not agree with everybody around you? Of course. My wife and I, believe it or not, we don't agree on everything either. I know it's hard to believe, guys, that, you know, I'm sure your marriages, you and your wife agree on everything, but we are just like night and day sometimes, right? And yet, in the church, we're given this greater command, this command to love one another as Christ has loved us, and strengthening and encouraging and supporting one another. And so we're going to look at kind of what that looks like today. Genesis 2:18. You can just start there. You don't have to turn there. But in that passage, God created Adam, gave him all the world to live in, this beautiful paradise. And as he saw Adam with the animals, he said, you know what? It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. It's the first time in the Bible that God said it's not good. He created all the other creation, said it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good, it is good. But when Adam was created and he was by himself, he said, it's not good that Adam is alone. We'll make a helper suitable for him. It was John Donne in 1624 that said, no man is an island to himself. God did not create us to be separate from everybody else. He created us to do life together, and we need one another. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. If you want to turn in your Bibles there to Luke chapter 5. If you don't have your own, there's a burgundy Bible there. You can follow along with us. It's on, Luke chapter 5 is on page 855 of the Burgundy Bible. I'm going to just start with verse 17 and 18. And let me give you a little background while you're turning there. Jesus has just come out of a period of temptation with the devil. And he was victorious. And we'll look at how he was victorious next week as part of that. But he was victorious over that temptation. And then he does a healing. And he heals somebody, and everybody's like, wow. And then he calls a couple of disciples to follow him, and so people are getting on board with him. And then he comes to this situation where Jesus is going to heal this person we're about to read about. But it took his friends coming alongside to help him. It says, one day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men were carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus. We're going to pause there and let's pray and we'll jump in. Lord, from the get-go, I just want to ask that you would prepare our hearts for this message. I really believe, God, that we are better together. I really believe, God, that you intend for us to walk through this life not as the Lone Ranger, but you intend for us to walk through this life together with others. And I pray that you would speak through me in this message, and Lord, that you would ignite within us a desire, God, a desire to get a band of brothers or a circle of sisters, God, that we can do life together with. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, if you got your listening guides in your program, go ahead and pull that out, and we're going to walk through that together. The first thing I want you to see is I want you to change your mindset from dependence or independence to interdependence, okay? Interdependence is what the Bible teaches. Independence is what we teach as a nation, you know? We are so grateful to be independent. We're independent from Great Britain. You know, we take great pride in the fact that we have freedom here, freedom of religion, freedom of the press. It's a great gift that we have. But oftentimes we can take that independence and we can elevate it to where we don't think we need other people. And then the other side of that is dependence. The person that's always dependent on everybody and is waiting for everybody to do their work for them, always saying they can't do it on their own, always walking around with their hand out going, who's going to help me, who's going to help me, who's going to help me? Each of those are poor examples of what God intends for us. Interdependence is like right in the middle. It's where we recognize that we are not perfect and that we need the help of others from time to time. And we humble ourselves and recognize that I need the strength of the people around me, praying for me, encouraging me, helping me through these hard times. And it's the independence of saying, hey, I see other people needing help. I'm going to take initiative to be there for them. I'm going to step in because I see them hurting as they go through this divorce. I see them hurting as they go through this job loss. I see them hurting as they're trying to build new friendships in a new town where they just moved to. And I'm going to take initiative to help them. Interdependence, recognizing that we need each other and that we're better together. Well, for So many years, I think the model was the Lone Ranger. Anybody else grow up with the Lone Ranger? You know? Okay, some of you. It's funny, I was doing this example, and I sent it to Luke, and Luke's like, you know, I've never seen an episode of the Lone Ranger. I was like, I am getting old. To my defense, they were reruns. Let me just say that. The fact they're in black and white, they were reruns. But he's one of my favorite guys. But the funny thing is, even though they call him the Lone Ranger, he's always got Tonto there to bail him out. If you ever watch the movie, Tonto really is the one that's the hero. The Lone Ranger always goes in with guns ablaze and he's going to rescue everybody, gets himself caught, and Tonto sneaks in and rescues him every time. Right? But for some reason, the Lone Ranger gets all the press, when really Tonto should get all the press. Which is a funny story is, for Christmas one year, I was wanting the Lone Ranger and Tonto. My parents gave me Tonto, and I was so disappointed. I didn't get the Lone Ranger, you know. But now I look back and I realize I got the real hero. There you go. Okay? So I want to encourage you to not think Lone Ranger. I want to encourage you to think Magnificent Seven. You know, not one person, but a team of people, whatever that looks like to you. That it's us going through life together as part of a team, and that's the way God intended it. Now, the hard part with the team is you and I have probably been hurt by others that we trusted. If I ask for a show of hands of how many of you actually shared with somebody something that was very important to you, and they turned it around on you and ended up hurting you with it, probably every hand would go up. I've had times that I was vulnerable and I shared something I was struggling with, hoping that that person was going to walk with me through the journey, only to have them turn it to their advantage and stab me in the back. You've probably had similar situations where you shared something in confidence with somebody, only to hear it being talked about the next day in the workroom as that person went and gossiped to others. So how can you trust to the level that you need to trust others with to have this kind of relationship? How can you become that vulnerable that you really share things that are close to your heart and that you need prayer for, but you don't want to be spread everywhere? It's picking the right team, right? It's sharing with the right people. It's finding that small band of brothers or circle of sisters that you can open your heart and your life to, knowing that they really will have your back and they really will pray for you. This guy in the story, he found those brothers, because here he is, he's lame, he can't take himself to Jesus, and this band of brothers is carrying him to Jesus. Now, can you imagine, just stop and think about Cookeville alone, if there was somebody that came to town that genuinely had the power that Jesus had, that he could heal everybody that came to him, how long do you think the line would be out the door today? I mean, I bet it would wrap way past Green Gate Road. All of us that, man, I've got that back pain all my life. I've got, just found out I've got cancer. Just found out I've got this. Just found out my aunt has this. I mean, that line would wrap all the way to Green Gate and further probably. Well, it was the same way in the time of Jesus. People were seeing him heal people that they knew that was their next door neighbor that had been lame from birth, and that person's walking up the street and they're going, what in the world? And they're like, Jesus. They're like, well, come on, mama, we're going to go visit Jesus. Come on, buddy. I know you can't walk, but we're going to carry you. We're going to see Jesus. So the line was so long to get to Jesus that these friends of his, they had to come up and think outside the box. They're like, well, we can't get in the building to get to Jesus, so what are we going to do? So these were some solid friends, because they said, listen, we're going to buy a roof today. And they climbed up on the roof, drug their friend up on the roof, cut a hole through the tiles, and dropped him right in front of Jesus. In that moment, can you imagine everybody else? Imagine the homeowners. I'm just sitting there thinking, all of a sudden you're sitting here glad Jesus is in your home, and all of a sudden dust starts falling in your hair, and you're like, what is going on? And all of a sudden, your roof opens up. Can you imagine this life group? You know, those of you that host a life group, how would you like if you're hosting life group and all of a sudden you start hearing a chainsaw and there's like dust falling in your living room, right? So that's what was going on here. And then if you skip over to, let's go skip down to verse 21. Nope, that's too far. Let's go to 19. 19, it says, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd, so they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on the mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Interesting. Jesus dealt with the spiritual before the physical. He realized there was something in that man's life that was separating him from God. And I would tell you over and over again, I've seen people healed physically, and it's not near as important as what I've seen people healed spiritually. Because we all know plenty of people in great health that are miserable, do we not? Having Christ is what is the game changer. It's what makes all the difference. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't like to be in pain. I'm a wimp when it comes to that. It's like, hey, if I'm hurting, give me a Tylenol, you know? I know some of you guys are like super strong and you never take Tylenol, but I'm like, man, if I just, sometimes even before I play soccer with my kids, I just take them before I even play because I know it's going to hurt. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is preventive stuff. But in this situation, these guys brought this man to Christ. He had those kind of friends. And those are the kind of friends we need in our lives. Now, Galatians 6, go ahead and flip over. This is really good. This is good. Page 975, Burgundy Bible. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. This gives us some clear instructions on how we help brothers and sisters. So let's say you're in a life group, and someone in that life group shares, hey, y'all need to pray for me. I'm struggling at work. I've been cheating on my taxes. I've been too prideful. I've hurt my relationship with my kids because I've said these things to them. Whatever it is, somebody actually opens up to you and shares things with you. How do you respond? Galatians 6, starting at verse 1, says, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should kick them when they are down. Point your finger at them and tell them they are bad Christians and leave them on the side of the road and go your own self-righteous way and go to church. That is not what it says, is it? So why do the Pharisees here want to do that? Why do religious people and sometimes us almost find joy when other Christians stumble instead of praying for them and weeping for them and asking God for victory for them? Look at what it really says. This is the real translation. My first one was not, obviously, the translation. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently, everybody say gently, and humbly, everybody say humbly, help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. This is so powerful. Gently and humbly help. So when you meet somebody and they're struggling and they share that with you, your responsibility then is to gently and humbly help them overcome the sin, to walk with them through this. Maybe it's a sin of deceit. Maybe it's a sin of lying. And you're in their small group and they just keep lying and it's obvious that they're lying and that they struggle with that. Your goal isn't to judge them. Your goal is to say, hey, brother, can I just ask you a question? It seems like you're always trying to say something that's one more than everybody else. That you just feel like you got to one-up everybody. And we know everybody in the group knows it's not true that you were special forces for 14 years when you're only 21 years old. You ever had somebody like that? I had a guy like that. He was 21 years old, and he would tell people he served in special forces for 4 years. And I'm like, dude, everybody knows you're lying. But he was so struggling with who he was and really who he wasn't that he tried to put on a facade to be who he thought everybody wanted him to be. And it didn't do me good to try to beat him down for his sin. I wanted to help encourage him and see that who God created him to be was an awesome guy. He doesn't have to be special forces. He can be the person that God created him to be. And God says, it is good. And you see, when those around us come to us and they're struggling, our role is to gently and humbly help them. The example I like to use is if you see me come stumbling out of some bar in town and drunk as a skunk, I hope that your first response will be, can I drive you home? Is everything okay? Is there something I can do and pray for you about? And then help me journey through that. Fortunately, that's not a temptation that I struggle with, but it's an example that if we will seek to be there for each other, we could take away the devil's tentacles and the way he wants to grab a hold of believers and make them feel so less than other believers. We can instead reach out and let them know that our hands are always open. Just as the word says, there's no one too far that the long arm of the Lord can't reach. Don't give up on people. Let's love them. Second thing, be willing to fight with one another against sin and temptation. So let's do this. Let's look at this as a war. That was the reason I used the example of the palace and the wall and the castle and the moat. Let's think of this as a war because that's what it is. The Bible says the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal for us. He wants to tear us apart from God. And the devil wants us to live a life that is evil, that all can look at and say, well, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want any part of it, right? And how many pastors have you seen fall, or deacons, or spiritual leaders in a church or whatever, that cause not just one person to fall, but many? And that's what the devil wants. That's why we've got to be in such good, healthy relationships spiritually that we can walk with each other through these journeys. And when we struggle, we can lock arm in arm and say, we're going to walk with you through it. We're going to help you. And we're going to be gentle and humble as we do. And we're going to fight with you for this victory. As a church, we want to fight with you. We want to fight with you for victory. We have a ministry called Freedom Ministries. It meets on Tuesday nights. And we'll fight with you for freedom over addictions. To find victory over those things that pull you down. We have life groups, small groups. I'm in three of them myself. That tells you how much I need that loving, right? I got a Tuesday morning men's group at 6, a Thursday morning men's group at 6. If you need a group to go to, man, come see me in the morning on Tuesdays or Thursdays. We've got a family group that meets on tonight at 5:00. Matter of fact, it's going to be at my house. Y'all all come. Just bring food, okay? Because I can't feed all of you. But you're all welcome. I believe God wants us to be in this community. He wants to be in a community where we are growing in Christ and we have those people. And for me, I'm really blessed. I've got my elder team I can be transparent with. I got my men's groups I can be transparent with. I've got my life group. Matter of fact, man, when I struggle, I got a lot of repenting to do to everybody. It's like, wow, Steve, you really got a lot of folks. I want all the love and support and accountability I can have in my life. And so if you're not in a small group where you have that, please find your group. Please find your group. Jeremy, that was up here doing communion, he's in charge of our small groups. Go talk to him after the service and find your group. You need that band of brothers to walk with you through this. We also have our deacon ministry. Man, I'm so grateful for our deacons because I can't be there for everybody. And our band of deacons, man, I had somebody this week, they had a heart attack. I couldn't be there. One of our deacons, I think we had two of them show up within the first short amount of time to be there to pray with the person. It's a team. It takes all of us. And maybe your passion is senior adults. Maybe it's young adults. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's the jail ministry. There's so many different opportunities to get involved and make a difference. But we need each other, and we need to be plugged in and growing. Christ set the example for this. He went to the cross for us, and we need to follow his example for each other. Well, third thing is let's stand arm in arm to sacrifice and suffer together for our faith. I want to challenge you to see the battle that we're in, not as what seems to be everybody trying to push today, whether it's liberals or conservatives or Democrats, Republicans or Christians or non-Christians or Jews or non-Jews or Muslims and non-Muslims, whatever that sectarian stuff people are trying to make the battle out to be, the true battle against flesh and blood and the spirit. The devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, and he will use other people in our lives to do that. But we don't need to see them as the enemy. We need to realize that Satan is the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He is our enemy. That is where our battle lies. And so you and I, we need to partner with other churches all across the city and be a part of their team. We need to see ourselves as one church in Cookeville. We need to see ourselves as one team in this room. We need to realize that we're in this together and we're better together. Verse 21 says this. Says, but the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy, talking about Jesus forgiving the sins of this man. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. So Jesus is doing amazing things. He's forgiving this guy, and the religious people are mad about it. These Pharisees, these are the religious leaders of the time. They're mad that Jesus thinks that he has the power to forgive sins. He's like, well, if you don't believe me, I'll just show you I have this power by healing the guy as well. And I will tell you, you may be surprised, but if you choose to help other people, you won't always be appreciated for it. May be hard to believe, but you may lay your life down for a family member or friend, help them to the nth degree, and they may still turn and walk away from you and from God. It's not always easy. Jesus saw it time and time again. Matter of fact, in Jesus' final moments, he had 12 disciples. One betrayed him. 10 of them ran away. One of them kind of stuck with him and looked from a distance. That's discouraging. You need to know that it's not going to be easy. This is a battle. It is a war. And as we go through this, there will be good times and bad times. But we need each other to stand together. And sometimes that means sacrificing for other people. Sometimes it means suffering for what you believe. And sometimes you'll be ridiculed by people that have nothing and no understanding of who you are or what you're doing. I read this last week, an article, it was in the editorial in the paper, and it was criticizing a church here in town that is near Tech. It's a College Side Church of Christ. They got 248 parking places, and they ended up roping off 48 parking places so that they could do church ministry during the week. And the other 200 are used by Tech students pretty much. If you ever go over there, I mean, it gets pretty full during the day. Well, there was an individual that thought it was really unloving and un-Jesus-like to rope any parking places off and not let them park there, and wrote an editorial criticizing the church for roping off their own parking places that they might be able to use their own parking places and not making them available to everybody. And as I read that, I was like, man, these are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if you just read the article, it could make you think, well, maybe they are being selfish with their property, and maybe they don't do anything Monday through Friday, and they just want a lot of parking places just to be difficult. And so I knew the other side of the story, so I wrote a letter to the editor, so it might be coming out this week. They may not print it. I don't know. But if it does, I want you to hear it from me. And this is what I said. I said, I read an article last week about a church reserving 48 parking spaces and easily realized the writer was referring to College Side Church of Christ due to its location. I've been friends with many people in their congregation for years and have known their generosity to the poor, generosity with their facilities to other organizations, and overall bearer of goodwill to Cookeville and TTU as well. As a pastor of another church, I also know that there's a need to make parking spaces available for weekly church activities. Much of what we do as a church is throughout the week, but may not be seen by the writer or someone even in our own church members. I reached out to my friend for a list of the things that they do for the community throughout the week, and I wanted to share it with you because I know they're not the type of folks to toot their own horn. Celebrate Recovery meets every week. Mother's Day Out, Bread of Life, a food and Bible study for those in need. Every Wednesday, between 120 and 150 people are served. They also partner with other organizations and allow them free usage of the building, including homeschool groups, Power of Putnam, Manus Hannah, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Weight Watchers, CHS Cooking Class, Early Childhood Educators, Daniel One Academy, Vision Basketball, Elections, Beekeepers Club, Clarinet Choir, Quilting Group, Hunter Safety Course, TTU Baseball Team, Darlene Franklin Classes for TTU Nursing Special Events, Manna Worldwide Family Law Seminar. I do hope this helps everyone understand why College Side Church of Christ reserves 48 spaces out of 248 for their own use. I do believe all these things are what Jesus would do, thus requiring 48 parking spaces throughout the week. By the way, I've been to College Side services on Sunday and found them very welcoming and would encourage the writer of the article to drop in on them some Sunday, as I believe he would find them welcoming and loving as well. I believe we've got to be resolute in what we believe, but we can be respectful for those who disagree with us. We don't have to denigrate and insult the people that may not understand why we do what we do. This person may have genuinely thought that the church only meets on Sunday mornings and didn't understand. And we have to be respectful and understand that when we respectfully disagree with someone else's position. But we also don't have to remain silent and let something that is untrue continue to be believed. As you stand as a band of brothers and sisters with those of faith, I want to encourage you when you're at the workplace, how are you supporting other believers in the workplace that aren't even a part of your own church? How are you supporting other believers in school that may be taking a stand for their faith and suffering and sacrificing? Are you willing to stand with them? Are you willing to be counted as one of those people that actually believe in love and forgiveness and hope and Jesus? I do believe that as time goes on, many people will not understand why we do what we do as a church. I see it on Facebook all the time, social media. And I want to encourage you to be respectful, but to be bold, to share with people why we care so much about the community and our families and one another. But most importantly, to live it out as an example, as these men did that brought their friends to Jesus, who went the extra mile to care. It's not about color of skin, it's not about nationality, it's not even about what religion or background. For those of us that are followers of Jesus, we're called to love everyone, period. End of story. So I want to encourage you to be willing to stand arm in arm, to stand for our faith, to not give up in loving others, to continue to serve and continue to sacrifice and continue to help those around you. And some of you may be getting discouraged in that. Maybe you've been serving a long time and you've helped so many people and it just doesn't seem like anybody's getting it or anybody cares. Well, I believe God sent you an email last night. Here's what I mean. I went to print off this editorial that I sent in, and the top email in my box was from a guy named Robert. Now, I was in youth group with Robert after I got saved for about a year and a half. I haven't talked to Robert probably since I was 18. Didn't know what happened to Robert, where he was. But here I was preaching this message on serving the Lord and the family of God and how not to give up. And I get this email. I'm like, okay, God, first of all, I'll receive this because this is very encouraging to me. But also I want to pass it on to you because I believe God gave it to me the night before the sermon for you as well. It says, Dear Steve, good evening. A blast from the past. Again, I haven't heard from this guy in 30 years. This is a godsend. Anyway, good evening, a blast from the past. I just want to express my extreme gratitude for your diligence in following your first love, Jesus our Savior. If you've ever thought as a teenager that you did not make a positive impression on your peers, think again. I have often wondered how you were and hoping you still had a passion for your brothers and sisters in Christ. May this serve as an encouragement to you. Who is it that you're touching now that you may not talk to again for 30 years, but you're going to redirect their future eternity? Maybe it's a coworker as you go into work tomorrow and the Holy Spirit's going to prompt you. They're struggling with something. And maybe you'll get to be that person that says, hey, can I just share a scripture that helped me make it through a hard time? Maybe you're going to get to be that person that's going to help them not give up. Will you be that person? Will you choose to lock arms with those around you and continue to suffer and sacrifice for the good news of Jesus, even if you don't see the results today? I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your head with me. For some of you here today, you're a follower of Christ, but what you need to hear is you've gotten out of the band of brothers. You've convinced yourself that just showing up on Sunday is enough and that you don't have time or energy, or maybe you're just not ready to make yourself vulnerable again to others. And I want to challenge you to rethink that. I want to challenge you to risk again being a part of a small group, to go talk to Jeremy, or maybe you've got a couple of folks you've met with before that you really trust, and reconvene that group. I want to challenge you to get involved and to open your heart to those around you. Second thing is, though maybe you're here and you've never yet discovered the forgiveness of God, His mercy and His grace that is gentle and humble to help. Maybe you've been taught just about the harshness or the distance of God. I want to challenge you today to rethink, to seek out this awesome Savior that we have. And if you're ready today to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray that and tell the Lord that in this prayer. You can pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself following after me. Dear God, I want to begin this journey with you today. God, I want a family, a band of brothers and sisters. And I want you to be my Father. And Lord, today I trust Jesus as my Savior and King. Please forgive me for my past. Today I surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen.